Natalie is here in the studio. She has a business called Career Tree. She talks careers with us all the time. In my head, that's all you ever talk about at home.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
never drive talk the kids. About laundry or, you know.
Drive the kids crazy.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do with your future life? Oh, I never say that to my children because they're far too young for that kind of concept.
You should never say that at all to ever. Kids. It's just depressing.
And please don't ask people where do you want to be in 5 years? Let me think about
that.
Don't
you have a five-year plan?
No, I don't believe in them. I believe in horizontal plans. And I believe in a thing called planmanship, which isn't just like, where do you want to be in 5 years? It's like, well, where would I like to be in the future?
Shouldn't that be
planmanship? What might that look like for me? And if I'm thinking about that, how might I get there? What will it feel like if it's good? What will it feel like if I'm kind of, you know, it's not going my way? You know, you have to plan. So plan personship or planmanship. Yeah.
It doesn't planning roll off skills. The tongue, does it? If it's
plan personship. I think it does. I think we could roll with that.
Just planning? Call it planning.
Planning, yeah.
Life. Planning.
Well, you know, in the world of careers and sort of, for me, it's actually life design. And so that's an actual theoretical concept that's had lots and lots of study and, you know, much, much more capable people than I have developed theories, methodology and things like that around working with people and life mapping. So yeah, you know, identifying obstacles on the way, all of those kind of things. But
you said horizontal planning, like, yeah. what's that as opposed to having a five-year plan?
Well, hey, I mean, if we've looked back in the last 3 years, did any of us actually think that this would happen?
Not these last 3 years.
So it definitely wasn't in my five-year plan or my 10-year plan. So I think when it comes to setting dates and times to things, there can be something that is added to the sense of failure if we don't achieve them at that point.
And we're actually very bad as a culture at setting dates. I used to work in the building industry, so I know this for sure.
Right. But it is important to give yourself time frame for action. Yeah. You know, in the next month I want to achieve. But it's not saying in 5 years' time I'm going to get there and that's what I'm going to do, because that can at times feel insurmountable, you know? And so for me, when I look at what it means to measure success in a personal, which is the only way you can really measure success in a personal frame, like what's important to me, how will I know, then adding like a 5 year, 10 year, I think it's in my opinion, there might be others, I think it's an antiquated view of the world. And I come to that conclusion just based on my experience of living in a global pandemic and working with people whose lives have been altered, like not, oh, okay, you know, I want to change my job. I'm not, you know, the standard approach to career transition, like completely altered. Never again will I be able to do my job because of.
I guess with the five-year plan, I guess there was something it was aiming for, which was to get some organization and planning and look ahead. But then now we have better ways of doing it.
I think that there are
ones
just
that don't
kinder
strike fear
ways.
Into the heart.
Yeah, and that's it, right? Like I don't like to frame things that can then become comparable to others, if that makes sense. So what your version of success and my version of success are completely different. How we get there are completely different. So for me, it's more of a journey. It's more of an exploration and a journey through the landscape of your future.
It's
and
actually
you need
that
to conceptualize that.
Doing that comparative thing, like that's what we get. We get that at school all the time. And sometimes the message feels like, if you're not the top one,
boom,
there's no point.
Boom. You know, in 5 years' time, I'm going to leave school, I'm going to do my degree, and then I'm going
No, but not just that. Feels like you have to be the top student all the way through. And if you're not the top, you shouldn't bother, which is obviously wrong. And like I don't value what I do here for my job. I'm not trying to be number one.
But this is a success in your life. Like this is an ambition to be, you know, to be.
Because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And
so
it's
that's success,
and it's meaningful.
Right?
Yeah. And you can't rank or rate it.
That's right. I mean, there's only so much in our lives that we can actually control. And we make decisions based on what we feel are best for us, based on the knowledge that we have at the time. So some of the sort of theories that I bring into my practice are very much around that, the chaos theory of, there is actually a thing called the chaos theory of careers. Robert Pryor, and I can't remember the other person that wrote it, but
that's fantastic.
I love it because it's true, right? Like there's only so much we can control. And if we date things and we don't achieve it, then have we failed? I don't know, because I don't think so, but perception wise, if you're thinking, well, at 22, I should be in my, you know, post-degree job and should, you know, like, or at 30 I should be doing this, or at 35 I should be doing that.
What doesn't allow
you're
for
not
you
there,
to...
Does it allow for the room of flux of life?
Also, you're going to grow and change and get 100%. And have new perspectives,
yep,
and
which,
learn new things which will, yes, change what you want out of life.
Which you can't understand when you're starting your journey.
Not when you're younger.
I mean, there's another thing called plan... Well, there's things called happenstance, and that's something that kind of is in everybody's life. And if we really think about... You know, how maybe we found out about a job or we heard about this. It's about through conversations, communications with others. Somebody recommends you to something. Right place, right time. You know, you can't put that in a 5-year plan.
No, and how my job developed is a really good example. I started as a volunteer because I had this idea in my head about something that I wanted to see happen. I didn't know I even liked radio.
Yep.
And it felt like something I really wanted to do. And I think there's something in following that feeling of inspiration.
Yep. Intuition, maybe even almost. Who knows? So what I'm trying to do is in next year, it is a plan of mine to work.
What's your schedule?
It's a really big thing. It is a schedule, right? But, you know, also there's lots of things that I want to achieve for myself in that time, and they are timed because it's part of a study. But anyway, that's like a whole other conversation. So I'm really trying to come up with a very simple approach that people can adopt and think about when it comes to their future work and their career exploration. So I've called it the 3 Ds.
The 3 Ds. After the New Zealand band.
I didn't know there was a New Zealand band. Dang, might have to change
the
name.
It's one of the Fly Nun bands, I think.
Oh, I'll have to check
from
them
the
out.
80s and 90s.
They got a podcast by chance.
Folks, that refers to a previous discussion off air that won't make any sense to anybody.
But
they have albums.
Which also makes sense to nobody. No, I do like albums. Yeah,
some people remember albums.
Do they? Oh my goodness.
There are still... Harry Styles just put out an album.
Harry Styles rules the world.
He literally does, yes.
He literally does. Him and Lizzo, oh yes. I bet they didn't have a 5-year plan. They just rolled with it.
Following inspiration.
Following their intuition and their passion and taking chances and risks. And you can't plan for that. So when it comes back to that kind of really simple but complex kind of approach to careers, I want people to think about it like that, like a journey into the future, a journey into the unknown, because we don't know what's going to happen next. But if we have a bit of an idea about what we want, maybe that's our horizon or destination, and then we have to think about how we're going to get there. The reason I came up with this is I'm working with somebody at the moment, and they have been working in a particular job for 9 years, and they're full of anxiety and fear about what they will be doing next. And all they keep doing, and I said this to them the other day, they're pouring concrete, big slabs of concrete, in between where they are and where they think and the interview process.
This is a metaphor.
It is a metaphor, because they're not allowing themselves to go through the journey which will prepare them for getting lots of like tweets,
notes,
and
notifications.
Like, oh my God,
just
shut
ignore
her
them
up.
No. That's an email that's got nothing to do with it.
Aaron, you're in demand.
And this is a suggestion for a 3D song to play at the end of the interview.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we will. I'm going to use that as my theme tune.
Beautiful Things, it's called.
Yes.
There we
perfect.
Go.
Perfect. There we are.
Yeah.
So this person is not allowing themselves to explore the options which will prepare them for things like job interviews and, you know, those kind of things. So they're just concreting over this path that hasn't even been discovered. So I'm really having to think
through
this.
So how does that metaphor work? They're concrete over the
Well, if you think about it as a journey, you're on one side of the valley, they're on the other. And rather than actually walking through this valley and discovering these paths and trails for themselves, they're just pouring a great big slab of concrete over it, walking straight to the end of the interview and deciding that they're going to get the job and scaring themselves witless in the process, because they're not allowing themselves to experience the knowledge they have in the context of their future. Big thinking, I know, you kind of think this is really crazy, but this is where imagination kicks in.
So they've decided that intellectually that's what
they
have to
look
do.
At a job and go, oh, I might go, okay, I'm going to go into sales, you know, and I'm at the job interview, and then, but I don't really like sales, so I don't want to do that job. And it's like, well...
So the anxiety is their intuition telling them that this is not what you want.
I don't
want.
Think it is. I think that it's a thought pattern and it's a process that they're going through. And
something in them is saying, you're doing this wrong, though. That's what the anxiety
is. Yeah, or somebody, they're just jumping 100 feet ahead and not actually looking at the ground that they're jumping over as a source of knowledge and information.
Is it the thing of, I've just got to have a job and it doesn't matter what it is?
Yep. Yeah. I think there's two really dangerous concepts when it comes to careers. Any job
there.
And I'm no good at anything.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, 100%. So through this kind of concept of really getting you to think about your future as a journey. And through that journey, there are lots and lots and lots of different paths you can take. But at the start of your journey, you need to pack your bag. So what's in it? Take stock. What have you done? What can you do? You know, what tools might I need along the way? What people can I think about? And then you will need to flip forward and think about what is it that I want to achieve. So for a lot of people, it might be just coming up with the concept, I want a full-time job in Hamilton and I want to work with people. Okay, well, that's a really great place to start. So on our journey, we're going to need a few things, right? We're going to need a bit of cloud to cover. And this is where the D's come in, because we're going to have three D's, three clouds that are going to follow us on our journey. And the first one is discovery. So we need to learn about what we enjoy doing, the tools and equipment that we actually have, because we can be really, really good at things and find absolutely no satisfaction in them whatsoever. Okay, like, so it's quite important that we really understand what we would like to be doing with our energy, what we would like to be doing with our capabilities and skills, which are also two different things, and, you know, how we kind of want to do that. So for me, when we're thinking about this discovery, it's about asking certain questions. Well, I mentioned a few, but, you know, what do I want to do? What does it look like? When I say I want to work with people, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, does it mean they're in a desk next to me?
Does it mean that I'm serving them? Does it mean that I'm working with them to enable them in some way?
Or like we're fully interacting now, so there's a difference between that and just they're in the same room.
Yep. Another thing is like, you know, what do I want to get better at? What do I never want to do again?
I think most people have got access to that.
Yes.
They very much know really what they don't want to do again.
So, you know, think about that on that first cloud. And what we're doing, I mean, what I've got in front of me is a very poorly drawn picture of my journey. But it's a blank page. So on the bottom left-hand corner, we're there thinking about our future.
It's a stick figure.
It is a stick figure. And she's a little bit like, well, they're a little bit jumpy inside. A little bit nervous about what's going on.
Butterflies.
And they're really thinking about, okay, well, what is it that I am going to do next, you know, or in the future, or what is it I want to do post-study, or what is it that I want to do with my qualifications, or what qualifications do I want to gain, or, you know, realistically, there are endless amounts of questions you can ask yourself about the future. So it's about, I suppose, having the courage to do that and understand there's no wrong answer, because just because you thought it doesn't mean you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So we've got the top right-hand corner, which is our long-term view, our horizontal destination. You know, we use the example of working with people. And on the bottom left-hand corner, we've got this person really thinking, but I've got a bag full of skills and expertise they know that they are capable of. If you're a young person, think about the things that you do in school. Think about the things that you do in your community that make the time pass, right? That you find pride in. That give you a sense of purpose, you know, a sense of accomplishment. Those are skills. Those are capabilities. Those can be built on. So it doesn't matter that you might never have had a job, because there are things that you do in your daily life that are employable, okay? And they're transferable, employable skills. We've talked about them at some depth before. And then the next kind of cloud that we're going to use to help us on our journey is, remember, we do need clouds in our lives. They're not necessarily always bad. You know, they help the grass grow because they bring rain. They give us shelter. They give a break from the sun. So it's a metaphorical thing that's almost like a tool on a sunny day, you know. A bit of cloud cover helps the people in Wimbledon play tennis well. Maybe the bad analogy, but you get where I'm going with it. All right. So then we're thinking about designing. Okay, this is the second D. So designing this future a little bit more. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. You know, how am I going to make this happen? Who can help me do what I want to do? You know, do I need to develop a CV or a better understanding of my skills and expertise as a tool to the jobs that I might be applying for? You know, how are my interview skills? Mine are great, by the way, as you can tell. how do I find opportunities that might suit me? So we are designing an idea of how we might actually go about this job. And all the way through this, you are making notes in your blank page, little stepping stones or pathways. Part of the design process. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Want to interrupt. I just now want to know, because you said interview skills. Did you have to interview for the work you did with the Ministry of
For work
social development,
the DCG, the Direct Career Guidance
job. Yeah, that you've been doing for the last
few
months.
So don't forget.
Did you have to do an interview?
No.
So, okay, so we can't test your interview
skills
recently.
However, I do get interviewed every single time a private client or any client meets me. Because they're sussing me out, right?
But the balance of power is different because you're the expert in the room.
No, never. They're the expert in the room. I'm somebody that has a set of tools they might be able to utilize, and that's how I approach it.
You have the status. That's how they will feel.
It's a meeting. Hopefully, it's not introduced that way.
Yeah, I get that's how you do it.
I don't want to ever stand in front of someone and say you should.
You know,
it's about saying, well, where do you want to go, and let's see what I can do to help you get there. Because I'm not going to go to these job interviews with you. I'm not going to go out and approach organisations that you want to work for. In fact, I'm not going to go to work for you.
So when was the last time you did a job interview where you were a little bit in awe of the situation?
About 4 or 5, maybe a bit longer than that. 2018, when I started working for an organisation that was contracting to ACC.
Okay.
So I had to have a job interview then. And that was a pretty tricky one because I had my spoken interview and then I had to do a written assessment for my skills because I would be writing reports. So I was given a case study and had to basically kind of analyze it and talk about it in the context of the work that I would be doing. And obviously I got the job, but then COVID hit. And so I was in that role for about 8 months. Yeah, 7 or 8 months. Yeah, and then
COVID hit. I just wanted
to
see if
yeah,
because the interviews are of
hard work. They are, yeah. And panel interviews and yeah, it's hard work. But I've been through those historically through other employment that I've had. Yeah.
So I've interrupted your flow. I know, but I just wanted to.
No, that's okay. It's important because things like interviews can be a real stumbling block for a lot of people. How do I answer difficult questions? How do I express whether or not me walking out of that job was a good thing for them and me? How do I talk about getting fired? There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of job interviews for the applicant, and so therefore there are a lot of tools that you can adopt to help go through that process. And of course, through the Direct Career Guidance program that I have been working on, you can come and talk to myself or one of my colleagues nationwide and get that kind of support. There's also lots and lots of resources that you can have access to on the Careers NZ website. Just go to the resources page, and these have actually been written by career guidance professionals. So when it comes to the interview process for that particular job, we all had to have a standard of registration, and that registration was you can only get that once you've been in the profession for so many years with so many qualifications. So it wasn't it was a prerequisite to the role. Yeah. And then obviously the success in the job has been the work that we've been doing with people.
Yeah. So let's get back to your 3Ds because I think we've done 2.
Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, we were just in that design phase where we're looking at.
We should say this is a conceptual thing that you've come up with for working out what you want to do.
What it is
next.
That you want to do. Yeah.
Or not just next, but
in the future.
Yeah.
So we had a little bit there that was quite quite good because we talked about what is it, how am I going to talk about myself? So I think your question led on to really well with that, and then the third and final D in this pattern of clouds that will be following you on your journey is dedication, because you do actually have to commit to some time frame for your action. So if you're job searching, I think it's important to kind of say, if what I'm going to do is find 3 organizations that appeal to me because of the work that they do, you might want to set a time frame to that, just so that you're accountable for your actions. So it's not the same as saying, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? It's about saying, I'm going to give myself a week to undertake these activities, because firstly I need to discover if I am capable, if I want to, if these organizations are the right ones for me, and then I might need to design some resources that I can use to approach them. And I'm sort of hitting on the hidden job market scenario there, but we can talk about that on another day. And then I'm going to dedicate some time to maybe emailing or calling. Does that make sense? So all the way through that, we're thinking about, when the times get a bit tough in your job search, what am I doing? Have I got to go back and rediscover why I am on this journey? Why am I undertaking these activities? You know, do I need to design myself a care package?
Yeah, I think that discovery thing, that's where I fell down all the time.
Yeah, like, because it's hard to be really honest with yourself and your people about what it is that you want to do, right?
Well, I had the added thing that I'd grown up just trying to please all the adults in my life and get the good grades and get the praise from teachers and things. I didn't have a clue what I wanted out of life. And it was a real – and that meant that when I was doing my degree, when times were tough, I didn't know why I was there, even why I should put up with it or you know, whether it was worth putting up with. And then when times were tough in jobs, I didn't have anything to fall back on about why I was there. So I was doing a career that I really wanted to do, but by the end of it, I didn't want to do it anymore.
No, because you might not have understood the motivation behind why you were there. I don't know. It's a hard one, isn't it?
It's some of it's really nebulous. It's hard to define. Like what, just knowing what you want out of life is not even something you can sometimes write down.
No.
But when you know, and it affects all your decisions and it affects what you're going to put up with.
Yeah.
Like I remember older guys in my class not being afraid of the lecturers and say, come on, give me the criticism.
Yeah, give me that feedback.
For my design. Yeah. And where I was like always trying to avoid that because it was too scary.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't getting as much out of it.
And my experience
was how to avoid things. That was what I learned.
Yeah. Well,
which is useless skill.
Stephanie might be able to help you with your avoidance mechanism.
I'm over it now. There was a few decades ago.
I mean, for me at school, I was not a standard learner. High energy person with dyslexia. I mean, it's not really easy to pin down, but I had a lot of capability.
My teachers would like me better than you.
Oh, probably. You were really studious, right?
Yeah, I was very well behaved.
Yes. I mean, for me, that just then became something I didn't do. So I didn't go to school, which is a real problem. Like, you can't contribute to anything if you're not there. And so, you know, and that was, for like a few years of life, I look back and think, wow. But having said that, when it came to the crunch of it all, I didn't do too badly in my exams. So I suppose there was an element of forgiveness that came with my poor attendance and attitude, because there was a measurable outcome for the school and for my parents. I mean, I remember we had GCSEs, obviously I'm from the UK, and I remember walking through the door, I don't even think I opened my exam results, because I just thought, I'm doomed. Oh my God, mom's going to get grounded forever again. And I just remember my mum was so proud of me, and she said, but you know what she said to me, bless her heart, imagine what you could have done if you went. And I was like, dang. But anyway, so it allowed me to go on to sixth form, which is year 12 and 13 here. And again, you know,
It
drove me nuts. And I got shoehorned into something I didn't want to do. Like, I did not want to do the course that I did. I wanted to be a social worker, and I wanted to go to school and do English and religious education. So I actually think, I know now I'd be more than capable of studying it, but because of my attitude and my poor attendance record, they were like, no, we're not going to do that. You can go on this pilot project, which is an MVQ in health and social care. So I think it was similarly.
It's deciding your career too early.
Well, you know, yes, 100%. And also, I didn't want to stay at school. I wanted to go to the community college. So there was this whole network of support that wasn't quite supporting me the way I wanted. And then when I left, because I left and I completed it, but because of my poor attendance.
Yeah. Now I know why you do what you do, because there's all these missteps in your early life.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
About your career, and it's like,
well, other people making decisions for me has never been a strong point in my acceptability of life. I don't like being told what to do. So gentle encouragement is always perceived as a negative for me. And not so much now as I'm an older person, because people don't tend to tell you what to do anymore. Not necessarily know what's good for them. I'm just joking there. But the reality is, yeah, maybe that's why I ended up being so impassioned by this concept of careers and career discovery and all of those things. But even in my world of work, I don't want to use the tools that are available to me. I feel like they aren't relevant, and they're tools of personal discovery.
Yeah.
But I don't want to tell people that because you can do because you have these traits, then you could be thinking about doing these jobs. you know, they are important. But in the world, and certainly in a post-COVID world, and in this modern, fast-moving, you know, technical space that we have, we didn't have when I was at school, nearly 30 years ago. My gosh, right? You know, jobs that they aren't going to exist in 10 years' time. We're going to be talking about jobs we haven't even thought about yet.
So we
can't say to people, well, because you have this trait, you could qualify for this job, because some of those jobs aren't even going to be in existence in the future.
I think that kind of process is probably would have been useful when I was younger. I don't think it would be much use for me now. Like, I know myself a lot better now.
Yeah, that's it, right? So now you know what you're going
to
do with it.
But I also don't, from what you're saying, you shouldn't take it as like it's written in stone now.
I have to do that specific career. That thinking still exists.
Just gives you. It should just be to give you a feel about what your talents.
Because
might
hey,
lead
like
to.
These massive conglomerates and big corporations that work globally, they employ people that do this, but their subject matter or their customer base might be completely over here. And Holland's theory of type doesn't discuss, you know, what it is that you're going to be doing for who you're going to be doing it with. Does that make sense? Like, the world is something that we explore and we process on a daily basis.
I think we just need some life experience. I think that's 100%. Ultimately that's
and so I think some people have a very clear idea of their future, and that's just the way they're made, and that's an applaudable, wonderful thing to celebrate, so we get behind them. But those that don't, it's about encouraging them to find a sense of pride and purpose in what they do, and try and translate that into something that can help them with income. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to define people by you do this, you do this, you do that, because the world moves so quickly that we can't keep up with it.
Speaking of things we can't keep up with.
It's a very big theoretical conversation we're having today.
Yes, and we're out of time.
Always out of time.
Yeah, we're past time, and I see people lining up outside. I think they're due in the studio soon.
Oh,
so
bless. They're young, though. They can wait. They have time on their side. We don't.
Actually, if they are who I think they are, Craig's interviewing some. They're trying to encourage people to be rural health workers, because there's a real problem at the moment.
Dr. Fiona
Bolden is working on this a lot. And there's some students, tertiary level students in town. They've just been speaking to the kids at school about it, just trying to get more people to see that. So it's not just a career. I don't just want a career in health, but I want to serve my community or be part of a community like this.
Yeah.
Getting kids to think about that.
Oh, my gosh. Just like, get off the radio.
No, that's just a spark message. It's time for us to go, folks. We'll be talking to Natalie from Career Tree. And just remind people, if they want to know about careers, there's still the free service.
This
MSD's
is until
doing.
August 2023.
Oh, it's going for ages.
Another year, which is just fantastic. I'm really, really happy about that. They've changed the number, and I'm really sorry I don't have that off
the top
of my
number.
Head. Yeah, they changed the number to contact us on. But if you go to the Careers NZ website and look for the free career tab, I think you just scroll down, it's there, or you can go to the connected websites, which are kind of the centers that we work from through MSD, and you can be put in contact with somebody through whatever region. If you don't want to come to the center, you can have a telephone call, you know, like, so that it's just access is there, and it's 100% free, and we can work with you for as long or as short as you need. And it's from right at the beginning, deciding what it is that you want to do. So maybe you'll come on the 3D journey with me, or right to, you know, executing plans such as applying for jobs, writing CVs, or going for job interviews, or hey, we helped somebody write a resignation letter the other day. They were really pleased but wanted to let the employers know how grateful they were for you know, the opportunity they had to work for them. They were just really lovely people.
Hey, time for us to go. Thank you.
All right, thank you.